and comrades. I am not moving a resolution, but I am initiating discussion on the report of the review of the economic program that we accepted in Bombay Congress Station. I think that was a major resolution that we adopted in Bombay Congress, and it created a new sense of purpose in the minds of the Congress workers then, and it gave a new sense of enthusiasm as far as the people were also concerned. Naturally, therefore, it was expected that we should take a review of what we said we would do, because taking stock of things sometimes makes our future line of action also more clearer. I know there is a feeling that in the last 6 months we could have done more. And that feeling is natural. But at the same time, we must see that what is 6 months? 6 months is suddenly a period which is enough to initiate things. And I must say that if we look to the different items that we have undertaken for fulfilling our task, in major matters, very substantial steps have been taken and things have been initiated. If I look back to the resolution has two different aspects, because the resolution as a whole, really speaking, covers practically the whole field of economic activity. Few of them were selected for immediate attention. If I remember right, they were question of selling on the carbon property, about the agricultural trade, about the foreign trade, about the treaty purchase and the general insurance. These were the five important items which were taken for immediate attention. And other matters also were mentioned. I think we have circulated a very detailed note covering as to what we have said we would do and whatever is being initiated. It's a very long note. I would like to emphasize one or two important things in this matter when we try to, because I don't want to repeat what is stated in the note. It's not necessary. Because what steps have been taken are indicated in the note, which are very detailed manner. But I would certainly like to mention on the criteria with which we should try to examine or test our own performance in this matter. Because these are the areas of program which has some sort of long-term perspective. Now, for example, let us take the land reform, which is one of the programs that we have accepted. The land reform is a program to which we are committed not only today, but I think we were committed to land reform program even before independence. If I remember right, in 1930s when we met in Firozpur Congress in 1937, I remember as a young congressman when we met in Firozpur, that time we heard for the first time the slogan, the land to the tiller. For the first time after 1930 struggle, an appeal was made to the general workers that came from the rural area, and that was a session that was held for the first time in the rural area as such. And there was that appeal that we are really speaking, looking to the problem of independence from the point of view of economic and social program. And I must say, even immediately after that, in 1937, many of the Congress states then undertook the land reform legislation. And if you look back to the performance of last 35 years, certainly one gets a sort of a sense of despair, I must admit to that. But at the same time, as practical politicians and as practical administrators, if you look to this complexity of the land problem in India, it's a very difficult problem that one can say that one can solve it in a course of a year. For example, the land tenure system or the one state to the other. What was good in, say for example, in state of Maharashtra or Gujarat was not necessarily good for a state in the south or state in the east. In Bengal, when we try to examine the performance in Bengal, we have to take the background of the then schedule that existed in Bengal 30, 40 years ago or 100 years before. If you try to compare it to the performance that was done in a state where there was a red party system, the comparison becomes rather very difficult. I am taking this as a one example. So, in the case of now, taking over the agricultural trade, this is one commitment that we have made. There are also different aspects of the problem. The first thing, important thing was about giving some sort of a security of good prices for the producer. The beginning has been made. Not only now, beginning has been made for some time, but now some definite steps have been taken in that particular matter. As far as the cereals are concerned, as far as the food grains are concerned, I think very important steps have been taken so that the prices of wheat, the prices of other cereals are as a matter of fact given some sort of a guarantee. And the impetus that is given to the production in the last 2 years is really speaking paying its dividends as far as the states in north are concerned, the wheat growing states are concerned. I think we have certainly, it appears that we have turned the corner of production in those areas. So this is because we certainly guarantee certain minimum prices for the food grain. It has helped us. It has not merely helped us, but it has created a new confidence in the food grain market as well. The food corporation has started its initial activities, which I am sure will grow in years to come and will certainly lead us up further to train our activities as far as the taking over the trade in the agriculture matter is concerned. So this is the way we have to go. If you merely say that this is what you said and we have not completely performed in the last 6 months or 1 year, I would say this would not be a fair criticism. But I have also, I guess, to put point, another political point of view before you. Because this is an economic program of a political party. And the implementation of economic program is not merely an economic aspect, it has also certainly political aspect about it. Now, for example, take the implementation of land reform program. I took a review of the performance of land reform program the last 35, 30 years. The major defect in our party's program of land reform was that we merely depended upon passing the law in the legislature. Land reform program can never be implemented merely by passing a law in the legislature unless we create a political strength in the field, unless we have got the party machine to see that what we have acted can be implemented by creating those conditions in the areas concerned, nothing is likely to be implemented. And that is the lesson that we are learning now. I am merely mentioning as an illustration for the land reform program. I think that we'll have to do in the case of every other program. If you merely say that this is the program that the party has accepted, and let us put the government in a dock and say, what have you done every 6 months? You have every right to do that. I am not refusing that right. And this is a good thing that we have done today, that after 6 months in the Congress session, we are submitting before you, this is what we are trying to do, this is our performance, this is the way we want to go. This is one more new thing that we have started in the organization. But how, what we can do about it? I would say, so implementation of economic program also depends upon what political strength we create as a sanction behind the economic program. There is a feeling, I'm not criticizing anybody, but there is a feeling, there is a tendency, I should say. I understand the attitude of self-criticism. Naturally, we have to constantly criticize ourselves to see that we are achieving something or whether we are not achieving something. But self-criticism also must not go to the length of self-condemnation. If we merely create the image of the party that we are not doing anything, I am afraid the purpose that we want to serve ultimately will be defeated. The point that you have to say that whether there is a sense of commitment in the matter or not. I think, I feel personally, that there is a new sense of commitment as far as the program that we are accepting in this conference. We pass resolution, forget all about it. That is not the sense today. There is an awareness, there is a consciousness. So this is a commitment that we have made and we have to go further and achieve this matter. That new sense is there. And I think this is certainly a step in the right direction. Now, for example, what we, this government, which is a part of the party, naturally is responsible to the party here. Now we are meeting in an organizational meeting. Naturally, government also functions in parliament. Government also responsible to the parliament. But the criticism of parliament of the government and criticism of the party in the party organization are two different things, qualitatively different. Because where you sit in parliament and discuss the party program, there is an opposition party which is committed to the alternative program, therefore they try to criticize your performance from their point of view. But when we sit in party, our criticism must be such that if we are not achieved something, we have to find out why we are not achieved something. It's not that one party goes and comes in there because the party also, the government also has to function politically in a parliament. Now, I will take the example of the important resolution that we passed was about this privy persuasion, evaluation of privy persuasion and privilege. We passed it a couple of years before. Well, it certainly one can say that there was a delay in coming forward with the bill, etc. But we have to find out why. I was myself rather very impatient about this resolution. But I see the reality of political life in this country. We have to be very frank with ourselves. The delay, if it is delay there is a reason for the delay because we wanted to abolish the privileges and privileges, but at the same time we wanted to do it with a sense of goodwill of the citizens. As it is our policy to abolish the privy purses, it is also our policy to see that we do it with a sense of goodwill. So this is, and then again, there is a third dimension to this problem, that you have to get it done in a parliament, which is not a AICC meeting. There are different forces which are reflected in the political life there. You have to function effectively there. You have to work in a sort of atmosphere of reality. So certain delays are inherent in the situation. So what we should really speaking try to test in the performance of economic program is that whether there is a genuine desire to do it, first thing. Secondly, whether the necessary steps have been initiated or not. And whether as a party we are also creating conditions to see that this program is properly implemented or not. Are we creating those conditions outside? Are we creating those conditions in the party? I would say this is our first and foremost responsibility in this party. Because with this economic program, we are trying not merely to meet an economic situation, we are also trying to meet a very important political situation in the country today. I'm sorry, I'm again diverting myself to the political aspect of it, but the political aspect can't be divorced from the economic aspect of the program. This economic program ultimately must help us to create a new sense of confidence in the mind of people. It must also help us to create a new sense of feeling the people that, well, things that we waited for so long can ultimately be achieved through the instrument of this party. So that relationship between the people and the party must be created. The first thing it must be created that certainly what we say, we also must perform. Because that was one criticism, that there is some sort of a casuality gap, as what it was very fashionably said. It was rather realistic, I would say. There was a sort of a credibility gap. What we Karni or Katani or Karni. And that sort of a gap between the two. But you can't say that gap is there now. Therefore, when we passed the resolution in Bombay, we ourselves made this position clear that there are some things which can be immediately done. But what is the meaning of immediately? Immediately does not mean that you do it in a month or two. For example, the question of general insurance. Well, I think the commitment is there, but naturally, the government also will have to choose the proper time for it. I mean, these restrictions, and these decisions must be left to those who really speaking have to undertake these problems and do it. Then again, there are other questions that whatever steps we have taken, we have to see that we consolidate them. This major step of nationalization of banks is not a simple step, it is not a very simple proposition. Even in that matter, we went through a very difficult process. We had to face the adverse judgment of the Supreme Court, then had to go through the whole mill of getting the ordinance passed and then convert the ordinance into law, etc. And it's not enough that we merely pass a law. We are also to take number of steps, a very complex process to see that ultimately this becomes an administrative reality. Which process has just begun? Can you expect immediately, therefore, only because we have included in the resolution, to burden the administration with this new task as well? I am just mentioning this matter. So this is not an apologia for what is not done. But really speaking, now we have to become a very mature political party and see that what we decide has also to be implemented. But we have also to take into consideration certain political limitations. We have to understand certain administrative limitations, and we have also to see that in all these limitations, we do not ultimately become a political liability as far as the people are concerned. So these are important criteria on the basis of which we have to perform, we have to examine and test our own performance. Personally, I think that we have, as far as I know the people's mind, people have a feeling that things have started happening. I have no doubt about it because I also meet people in different ways. If you read the paper, sometimes you get a wrong feeling about it. I mean, this is not a criticism of the press, for example. I hope they will pardon me for saying this. Because it is quite natural. Those who think and write, they naturally, they think ahead. And therefore, they put that sort of a criteria in the criticism, which is also very legitimate, which also perhaps may be necessary also. But whether, what is the feeling of the people as such? Most of the people say that why is it that we brought about this split, and after split, what have we done? After split, there is certainly a feeling. Before that, whenever we pass a resolution, even when we are passing resolutions, and even when we gave our votes for passing resolution, we knew that nothing was going to be done. Because there were two different considerations. While passing a resolution in a political party, considerations were different. And naturally, because there was not that sort of realistic appraisal of the matter. But in this time, I must say, when we met in the working committee, when we passed the resolution, we went into the details of it, what we can do, what are the limitations, and how far we can go ahead of it. Well, sometimes some of the calculations may have been gone partly wrong. But that does not mean that things were not thought of. And therefore, what we have done in the last few months has certainly given a feeling to the people that we mean business. And I must plead with you as members of ARCC, as members of a very important premier political party, that image of the Congress we must all strengthen. By government will have to strengthen it by keeping to this process of performance, but the other members also will have to keep this image of the Congress, that what Congress says, Congress means, and Congress does. That image of the Congress party will have to be built up to the last man in the country. If you don't do that, if you overdo self-criticism, I am not against self-criticism. I am for self-criticism. But if you overdo self-criticism, ultimately we are going to add to the depth of the crisis and that feeling of despair that nothing is going to happen. If you give that feeling, then the justification of the violent activities which we all condemn in the couple of resolutions that we passed yesterday and today ultimately gets justified. Therefore, what we have to do while we examine this review, we have to now evolve certain criteria of testing and examining our own performance. This is one thing that we have to do. Personally, I feel that we have started in the right order. I know it's a long journey. It is a long journey. the performance of economic program is a long journey, because ultimately our objective is socialism. And I know socialism is not going to the entire last minute, the last program of the socialism, I think we have to go some few decades about. But at the same time, whether we have taken the right steps in the right direction or not, I think the party that we are, the party with the tradition that we were, that the difficulties and limitations under which we are working, this party, this Congress has started well. And I will hope that with the proper support that we get from the workers in the party and the proper atmosphere that we create in the people, will certainly continue to do better and better. Because I have no doubt that the capacity of performance of this party alone is the only guarantee for the democratic socialism in this country. If we fail, nobody succeeds in this country. So this is not really an academic issue. A performance of a political party's program is not just a non-academic issue. It is, really speaking, has to be looked into as an organic part of the entire political life of our country. And therefore it is a great responsibility for those who criticize also the performance of the government. I don't say they don't criticize, but let there be some realistic steps for this criticism. And if you take this realistic test, I would say that we have begun well. Let us not relax. We'll have to continue to work harder and harder for that. But this can be done only if we create a right political atmosphere in the party and outside. I hope this discussion will strengthen that process. Thank you very much. Mr. President and friends, I think we have by now completed nearly 3.5 hours discussing this report of the review of the implementation of economic resolution. I must say it was a very profitable and educative device. Naturally, two different points of view have been raised before the House. But at the same time, one has very with happiness marked that there is a general desire to go with a little faster way. That is what is expected of a progressive party, party which has future, party which has made commitment to the people. But at the same time, I must say that a feeling that was expressed, that there is a lack of genuine desire to implement the program on the part of the leadership, was perhaps maybe unintended, but I may say the most unjustified feeling. I am not trying to blame anybody or trying to criticize anybody. But I think that is the basis of any political party functioning in an effective manner. Once we create a feeling that the leadership has no genuine desire to implement what they say, possibly the basis of having a party completely disappears. And if anybody really speaking has that feeling, I would make a request to them to reconsider their own positions about the party. Because we are in a very critical time, I think it is very essential that we do not try to look at the program and the functioning of the party in a manner of a debate or a sort of a debating attitude. Either we have faith that we are an instrument to achieve something. I can understand the criticism that we should go in this particular manner. We should have done this much, try to examine why we have not done that, and point out the difficulties in a way, and try to say how we can overcome it is one understandable. But if we immediately doubt the basic thing, then the party loses its significance, party loses its very basis for which we exist. Because socialism is not just an abstract idea. socialism is something which is to be achieved by continuous effort in all fields of life. This is not merely that we pass the half a dozen laws in the parliament and then satisfy ourselves, well, we have done something very wonderful in the field of socialism. It is not going to be that. Particularly in Indian life, socialism means many things for us. I mean, there was sometimes a very interesting controversy in arguments going on, what exactly we mean by socialism in India. Is there anything like Indian socialism, or is there anything like international scientific socialism, and so on and so forth. I do not want to go into the niceties of this program, but there is no doubt that Indian socialism will have to suit to the Indian conditions, because the principle of socialism that we are trying to apply to Indian conditions has got certain peculiar challenges. I have a feeling, possibly it may be my personal feeling, that in India, apart from socialist revolution, we are never allowed any revolution to succeed so far in the for centuries together. Because something comes and it ultimately eludes us. So we have really seeking to create that psychology in the country, which is most important. And I think what this Congress has succeeded in doing it after a long time, that we have created a new psychology in the country. And that is much more important. Because if at all socialism is going to come, it is not going to come by the determination of some people at the top. Once we create the conditions in the minds of people that this will have ultimately to be done, when that condition is there, nobody can stop the arrival of socialism in this country. What realistically has happened in the country is not some people try to think in terms of polarization of forces. Right, realistically, what I see today in the country today, it is that process of radicalization in the mind of people. Some time will come in this country, sooner or later, that no political party without any progressive social and economic program can claim to be a political party. This is the position that we are coming. I see even the reactionary parties like Duncan today has started thinking in terms of socialism. It's a wonderful thing. But they can't get away from it, because this is the process that is started in the minds of people. And therefore, when I say, I am not against criticism, because in democracy, life without criticism is not life at all. I do welcome that. Let us have the criticism. But what is ultimately the standards of criticism? What is the objective or aim of the criticism? And there I was trying to make that point yesterday. I think I left it in middle, but I would certainly like to develop it here now. Criticism in parliament and criticism in party are two different propositions. Here we are not a parliament. Let me tell you very frankly. Because parliament is a forum where all points of views are assembled and where they try to cancel each other, which is a very legitimate political game. That is not so here. This is a forum where, at least theoretically, we are committed to one way of work. We are committed in terms of one program. We are committed to one homogeneous leadership. And we want to use this organization just not a forum of debate, but it is a sharp instrument to be used to achieve certain specific things. This is really speaking the main thing. Are we functioning like that? If you merely create an atmosphere, but we are not an instrument of the party, how do you do that? Even I have tried to study scientific socialism as a lay student of it. I can't say that I can claim any expertise about it. But even in the scientific socialism, ideology is important, but much more important is organization. An ideology without an instrument of organization is a blind effort. Therefore, we have to see that whatever we talk about socialism and its achievement, what is going to be your instrument for that? What is going to be your organization for that? In the process of creating that psychology, we must not weaken the organization that we are building. And therefore, sir, when I am again repeating some of the points that I said before, criticism will have to be there. Let us criticize all. No, You see, we are multi-class party also, there is some meaning about it now. Not only those classes are which are oppressed classes and which need progress. It is very wrong to say that now we are in that sense a multi-class party. We cannot say that we represent the big business here, do we? Big business also is a class. There are certainly some exploiting classes in the country today. Do we represent this in this party? I think if we are still representing that party, that we can't talk in terms of socialism. We do certainly represent different classes, to say we do represent middle classes, we do represent the working classes, we do represent the peasantry also. So in that sense, maybe that we are multi-class party, but we represent that class of people which really speaking are objectively in need of progressive, socialist, somewhat revolutionary program for us. So this is really thing. Let us understand what we are. Let us understand the role that we are expected to play. Once we do that, I think these things would be rather very clear. Now coming back to one point. I'm not criticizing that particular part, but I am trying to point out the wrong thinking or the wrong way of looking at the problem. For example, my friend Mohan Daria, let me say that as he conceded certain integrity for us, I must concede the sincerity for them also. I don't doubt the sincerity with which they speak. But I would like to point out the wrong way of looking at it. Yesterday he said, why is it that the party did not press this question of constitutional amendment or pre-purchase? Doesn't matter if we were defeated, we would have gone to the people. So this is not a planning of a wise general. Are we going to plan for defeat or are we going to plan for victory? If any general says, well, it doesn't matter if I am defeated, I will certainly again try to win again. And if he plans for a defeat, I don't think he is a general. No wise soldier would like to function under such a general. Yes, naturally the political leadership has to take a decision to choose its own time, when to go to people or not to go to the people. You can't refuse to go to people sometime, or you have to go to the people. And when one goes to the people, is a matter of political judgment, political wisdom. Do you want to say that, I mean, you plan such a way that you get defeated in the parliament and then go ahead? I don't think. I concede the sincerity of it, but I don't concede the wisdom of it. So we have to look to these problems from that point of view. Therefore, sir, the point that I was making is that certainly there are many aspects of the program that we can look with hope. I know. Some legitimate criticism can be made that this was not done, that was not done. You can certainly point out. But there are certainly most important aspects of the economic program which has been initiated and which has a longer perspective. For example, I'm sorry nobody mentioned that particular aspect which according to Marx was the most essential part of the economic program, economic resolution of the Bombay session. And that was about making an attack on the backward dry farming in India. I mean, sometimes these things look very dry, not very attractive, not capable of giving any slogan. Therefore, they become politically less important. But when we think in terms of economic program for socialism, we must see the capacity to generate new forces of production, new forces of social strength, new forces of confidence, which are those programs. I must say, if we can bring about a revolution in the dry farming methods in this country, possibly you would let loose such important social revolutionary forces that you will not do by working 10 years or 15 years in other demonstrative or agitational phase. Because in Indian economy and perhaps in Indian politics, which was really speaking marked by many other leaders, that the agricultural economy and the people connected directly with the agricultural life, which are full of poverty and backwardness, if we make use of them for political purposes, social purposes, the revolution can be round the corner. This was what was realized by our leaders during the freedom struggle. I remember, and we all remember, that revolutionary campaign to the national movement came when the suppressed classes, the depressed classes, the smaller classes from the rural area and the cities join the freedom struggle, then it becomes really speaking a strength to be reconciled. Today we find there is some sort of a new life in these rural areas. Because as we think in terms of green revolution, etc., some rich farmers have started asserting themselves. Some new modes of production have come in the agriculture. But even today we find the large section of the rural population is still suppressed in a way, because they are the victims of the suppressed and depressed economy. There are landless labor, but even those who are cultivating, they are either small cultivators, and even if they have got a large cultivator in the dry area, what a wet cultivator can produce in a couple of acres, the dry cultivator can't produce in 20 acres. And we find, except perhaps some fortunate states like Punjab or Haryana, I am just mentioning as a illustration, or maybe some one or two other states, the large country have to depend upon the dry farming. Majority cultivator is really speaking going to depend upon the dry farming. And if India's economy very effective progress in all fields of industrial life, that we can make an impact on the dry farming today. Therefore, whether a section officer has written it or whether a pandit has written it, ultimately what is written is more important. Merely this merely because only because it was written by a section officer. The point is the facts that are mentioned there, whether they are right or wrong. It may not have been written like a thesis. We have read many thesis. But if you go to that part of the program which is mentioned in the draft, it is said that we are trying to develop a new integrated technology for developing this dry farm. And I would say for India, it is the most important technological effort that is going on. Maybe some countries need some development in the space technology. Certainly, in the world of science, it is much more important. But in the life of people of India, I would value the development of this dry farming technology as important as maybe a space technology for Russia or America. It is equally important for us. Once we do that, we'll be liberating the lives of millions of people from the poverty and the backwardness. And I'm glad to say that effort has been initiated by the scientists in the agriculture. It is a revolutionary program. Why don't we look at it? Revolution is not merely in shouting. Revolution is not merely making these quiet revolutions which create new, which give new weapons in the hands of poor men. It's not merely the strike is an important weapon. It is an important weapon. But this new strength in the methods of production, that really speaking will be created with the greatest strength in the hands of our people. So there are other aspects of the economic program which kindly we look into, and I would request the honorable members to look at these problems from this purpose. Certainly there should be criticism. There is a scope for criticism. I don't deny. There is a scope for criticism in the sense that some things will have to be done. There will have to be constant pull ahead. But what is the attitude about it? My main complaint was the feeling that as if there is no genuine desire on the part of the leadership to implement the program was not a statement of fact, but was something which really speaking made me unhappy. Because if this is the feeling with which we are working, I think we are working in a kind of a wrong direction. And when I made this criticism, it was with a view to correct this attitude, because this would not lead us to where we want to go. I know. When I say that, I concede the sincerity, because that feeling that we can't leap over what we have achieved or what we are tracked with. We'll have to go ahead. Certainly we'll have to go ahead. And that awareness is there because we ourselves said that people have realized that we want to do something. If we give the feeling to the people that we are not doing what we should do, we know where we shall be. So that feeling is there. And therefore I would make a request to friends, young friends, that I do understand that there will have to be a sort of a constant effort to be aware as to what we should do, a constant desire to go ahead, a constant pull forward is always necessary. But let us do with one feeling and one thing in mind, that we are trying to achieve a new confidence in the minds of people, a new confidence in the worker who is working at the grassroots. Let us not say something or do something which will make him rather pessimist. Once you make him pessimist, there is no for India, because once, as I said, I would like to repeat it, if this party fails in achieving the objective of socialism, personally I feel a great darkness before us. merely saying that if we don't do this, somebody else will do it. If I have that feeling, I would say yes, doesn't matter. Unfortunately, those who are talking in a very radical way and talking in terms of Naxalite method, I'm sure they are not going to achieve what they want to do that. If at all in the conditions of India, we have to make a forward march. We can only make that forward march if we take the entire people with us. And by this very radical talk or revolutionary talks of violence, etc., I'm sure they are not going to take the people with them. Ultimately, they are going to succeed in terrorizing the people. A terrorized people will never lead a march towards liberation. And I think socialist state or socialist objective is an objective of freedom of people. It is based on that very important and noble concept. If we have to do that, let us go to the people and create this new confidence. But at the same time, I quite agree that we cannot afford to ignore our commitment. And I have no doubt that we are committed to certain social objectives. We are committed to certain political objectives. We are certainly committed to certain social objectives also. And I don't think... I thought you had read the note. You see, the first most important thing that was to be done was, the most important thing that was to be done in this matter was to prepare a necessary ground in the minds of all the people with whom we are dealing in this matter. I know. As I would say, as far as I'm concerned, I'm equally impatient about it. But it's not enough that I become impatient about it. It's a question of, and as I said yesterday, the most important factor in that matter was that we want to, from the very beginning we have said that. It's not something that we have started talking about it at late stage. We wanted to do these things, at least try to make an effort to see that we are taking the princess with us also. I know it is a very difficult task. Maybe that we may not succeed. But we want to have a genuine feeling in our own mind that we have tried we have made every effort to see that they come along with us. We did try to talk with them, and we'll continue to talk with them. The talk will never be stopped in that sense. Naturally, it was passed in the Bombay session. After that, we made an announcement in the parliament that this bill will be moved in the last session. And as you all are aware that we have introduced the bill. Now, we'll have to follow the parliamentary process in this matter. And for that matter, we'll have to certainly keep the public opinion alive, I have no doubt about it. As I said yesterday, it's not merely something that we do in parliament is going to be enough. The socialist program, or any democratic program, if I may say so, depends upon the strength that we create in the minds of people. Organized public opinion is the only great sanction for anything that we achieve. So, if we just go on saying, that well, government doesn't intend to do that. Who benefits from it? The forces who do not want your program to be implemented, they get the moral strength outside. Now this idea that if we, doesn't matter even if we are defeated in the parliament, even then we should have prestige. So people get a feeling, well, is it possible that this bill can be defeated in parliament? Whose moral strength we are increasing? We are not increasing the moral strength of the forces which want to abolish the forces. But you try to give a little moral boost up to those who don't want it to be abolished. It's a question of looking at the problem. I mean, I just gave this information because one of the members wanted me to give, because I didn't give it because it was included in the notes which are circulated. Well, friends, I don't think I should take a... well, what Nidlingappa said was the... You see, what... No. What Nidlingappa said, if it were the same that I am saying today, Nidlingappa would not have been the other Congress. So, one can certainly give, but I don't think I can make use of this forum to go on giving lectures on this aspect. Well, sir, I would make an appeal to the members that let us go away from this meeting, that we have rededicated ourselves to our commitment for socialist program. Let us go and organize the people. Let us go and create that sense of confidence in the people, of hope of people, and with that strength try to support the party and the government.